Well, we have been talking about you belong, and we've talked about being a part of group and how in group you get to know people personally, where you care for them and they can honestly care for you and help you mostly grow in Christ and grow in His grace. Last week, we talked about this idea of giving financially. God's Word talks about it throughout all of Scripture, and that is tithing, giving a 10% of your income to God, giving offerings above and beyond that to God. I encourage you, start systematically giving to God's kingdom because it's important. God's kingdom is important in the world. It is an important message that must be shared today and tomorrow. Please consider that. Pray about that. Today, we are talking about serving. And I ask you today, are you currently serving here at New Life Church? Are you currently serving someplace in our community where you are giving of yourself outside your family, giving of yourself outside just your close circle of friends, but giving and also leading your family to serve that way? Well, Patrice and I have two kids, and we've had them for over 25 years now. Those two kids have enriched our lives and taught us far more than we have ever taught them. I just want you to know that. From the beginning, however, the flow of resources has been out and not in, okay? I just want you to know that. It's been out, not in. It has been financially stressful in that we were adoptive parents and insurance played no assistance in helping us with all the fees that went along with that, with all the meetings we went to, all the certifications we have, all the social services that had to examine our home to make sure we had the right cleanliness and the right square footage, and then to have life insurance that was adequate and health insurance that was adequate. We had to go through all that. It was giving, 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 and those two kids were born in our hearts long before they were ever placed in our arms. We wanted and desired them. We prepared for them, and we looked for them, and we longed for the day when it would become our reality. After our kids came, we started investing tons of time and energy and a huge amount of emotional collateral in them. And it was fun. It was fun to do it. We enjoyed it. Sometimes it got stressful and tense, but we enjoyed it. And they took and took and took and took. Housing and clothing and food and bikes and toys. And then we have elevated to gaming systems, and they liked those too. Eventually, the necessities of life became cable and Wi-Fi. And when we moved here to Illinois, we had to get an unlimited texting plan so they could stay connected with their friends back in Colorado. There were cars that got damaged during this whole process, increasing our insurance premiums, replacing cars, computers and laptops, and screens that got cracked and dropped, and all kinds of things happened. It was a giving, 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 and, you know, turn the lights off and close the refrigerator door where you're born on a farm. You know, all those things happened to try to, put a little dam on all the giving that was going out. Then there was the education fund, and, you know, to this point, there has been little financial return. You laugh. And if you look at family through the eyes of your financial benefit, don't have a family. That's my wise advice to you. Don't have a family. It doesn't work that way. Now, our kids are grown now and basically on their own, but I must say that the flow of resources has not turned the other direction. There is nothing running upstream, I want you to know. Yes, there are cards that come every once in a while, but overall, for the last 25 years, our investment has, if you look at it from a financial standpoint and dollars and cents and tangible labor and tangible gifts, it has been the worst investment of my life. The stock market has never failed me like this investment that I have made in these two people, my children, and I love it. I love giving it. And it makes my heart dance when I get to do something significant for them. You all might think that you can't believe I'm talking about my kids this way, that I've missed the whole point of family. And if that's the way I thought about it, you'd be absolutely right. I missed the whole point of it. For family will always frustrate you if you join up to be a part of a family on a consumer basis only. Family is something you give yourself to, you invest yourself in. It's in the giving that the gift comes. As St. Francis of Assisi said, in the giving that you receive. It comes when you're not looking for a return, and it sneaks up on you in a baby's smile, in an unexpected kiss from the woman you've been married to for nearly 36 years that you can't imagine doing life without. It comes when you get the text, "Daddy, I love you," with emojis that I don't understand. But they have little hearts after them, so I'm assuming. Or, like last night, my son and his girlfriend prepared dinner for us. It was Cajun shrimp and Cajun catfish and venison brats. It was a little short on green stuff. But we didn't say a thing. It was amazing. They fixed it and we ate it. And it was good. It's in the giving that the gift comes. It is not in the receiving. The question this morning, are you using your gift? There are gifts that go unused. There was some adult children that were unpacking the house after their parents had passed, and up in their attic, they found this set of very valuable china. This very valuable china had never been totally unpacked. Just a piece or two had been opened up and looked at, but had been safely put back in the box and stashed away. They pulled out the set of china, and it was flawless. It was perfect. And they took it and had it appraised, and it appraised for quite a sum of funds because it was very unusual. But it had never been used. It had never been unwrapped. It had never been taken out of the box. It had never been utilized for its intent. What a sad thing. To live all your life and never use your most valuable gift. This is precisely why the Apostle Paul one day wrote these words to the church in Corinth. Now, about the gifts of the spirits, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be, and some translations say, ignorant. I will use the NIV. It says, uninformed. You have a gift. It has been given to you by God through the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual gift. And for you to identify and cherish this spiritual gift that God has given to you, it is critical for your own self and for the flourishing of God's family in this world for you to know what your gift is and for you to act upon it and for you to open it up and let it be used in the Church of Jesus Christ today, in our community, to caring about our community. Unused, unopened gifts are unthinkable. We're focused about what it means to belong to God's family. What I want to talk about this weekend is, if you follow Jesus Christ, call yourself a part of this family of faith here, and you sit and listen to the Word of God, God calls you to serve His family today. God calls us all to serve His family, to serve the cause of Christ in this world. if the Apostle Paul was with us someday, maybe today, I believe he would say he doesn't want you to be uninformed about spiritual gifts. God created you to serve, not to be served. Okay? God created you to serve, not to be served. Paul said, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works with God prepared in advance, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Ephesians 2. We were made by God to do good works, not to accumulate good things. We were made by God to do good works and not to accumulate good things, John Ortberg says. Now, we're often encouraged in today, and many of us do, and certainly there's nothing wrong with it, and that is we have a bucket list. We have a bucket list of all those things that we hope to do, hope to accomplish before our life is over. However, one thing I remind you, as we as followers of Christ, this is not the end. There are a lot more experiences in life that are coming after you pass from this life into the next one. The Apostle John says it like this: "Whoever obeys my word will not taste death." So death isn't the end of it all. And it's not in this life who finishes the checklist on their bucket list that certainly has achieved the end goal. Who gets all the trips taken? Who gets all the toys that they wanted and accomplishes all those goals? But who has served and who has planted something in the hearts of those in the body of Christ, in our community, in this world? The big deal is, serve, live, and touch the lives of others. God made you specifically, uniquely, to be able to touch people. God has called you to serve. A scripture that I have used often at some of our leadership meetings here at New Life Church is 1 Peter 2:9, and I read from the Message, "But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do His work and speak out for Him." I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear the word priest. Priest, sometimes it's like in the ancient days of ancient Israel. There was this two-tier system, right? And there were the holy people and the rest of us, right? And the holy people were the people who could only say their prayers, could only go to certain places, could only do certain sacred things, and could only wear certain very funny clothes. They could offer forgiveness. These were the priests. Then Jesus comes along and He changes everything. And Jesus gave Himself to this cause of being a priest. And then He abolishes the whole idea of priest and He says, "We are all priests. We all have the right to do the acts of priest. We all have the right to do priestly things." As a matter of fact, He says, not only do you have the right, but you are called to be a priest, to be reconciling people to God. Martin Luther called it this. He called it the priesthood of believers. Peter continues, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are this people belonging to God." And no longer was this two-tier system in existence that there were the priests and the rest of us. Today, the term minister has been put on people like me who have followed the ministry or the clergy in a vocational fashion. And minister is defined by those who would wait the tables, those who would take care of the tables. Everybody's a minister. There's nobody in the bleachers. There's nobody that's on the bench. There's everybody's on the field. Everybody's in the game. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is with you. And you have been called to benefit His church and this world in this moment. Here's another point of serving. God gifted you to serve. Sometimes we receive a gift that is so special and sentimental that we can't imagine sharing it. I had one such gift one time, and I don't know if my heart was too attached to it or not, but God asked me to give it away. It was the strangest thing. I'm not sure. It was like what we talked about last week, the rich young ruler that God said, well, give everything away to the poor and then come follow me. And it was about a 3-year time span that I went through arguing with God about that. I'm not fast. I'm not a fast obeyer when God asks me to do things that really get close to my heart. And he kept saying, give that away to this person. And I was like going, no. I give him something else. How about I give him something of equal value? Now that. It was terrible. Finally, I became obedient. Because God asked it. I may never know why, but it was merely that God asked me. Sometimes we hold on to things that are actual gifts from God. Time. Is that not a gift from God? Can you create it? I can't. I can't make more time. I can't add any hours to the day. But I love daylight, and we're losing that. I know that. Air. I really can't create this stuff, you know? God gave it, and it's a free gift of God. Life and energy. We're told that each person has been given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The church was established on the day of Pentecost, and people were given gifts, and God has no B plan. God says, you're the church. You're the royal priesthood. I have given you gifts, and my church will not exist without you. That's what he has said. God's plan for his church is for all of us to operate in the spiritual gifts that we have been given, where God has enabled us. For a long time, the church, this is what people did. They were all separated. But when the church came into being after the day of Pentecost, everybody was excited about it because everybody got a chance to serve on the same level. Whether you were rich or whether you were poor, whether you were young or old, male or female, or Jew or Gentile, you got to play a role in the church. It was a very equalizing kind of place. And it still is today. Come, play your role. Use your gift. Play your part. Today, sometimes we have the clergy, the professional clergy, and then we have the parishioner. And that's not really God's plan for his church at all. I mean, I know we have to have titles sometimes to designate what and who does what and all that kind of stuff. But everybody who follows Jesus has been given a spiritual gift. And that's you and me. I actually get to be included in that. The best way to find out what your spiritual gift is to try something. If it doesn't work out, try something else. If you want to try being a musician or a singer, they'll give you an audition. And they may say this or they may say that. You got to deal with that, You can find that place of serving. That serving is an amazing thing. And in the serving, God changes us. He changes us to be different people. Paul says that do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Philippi was a Roman colony, and it was rather haughty. It thought it was really something. And Paul speaks very directly to them in the second chapter of Philippians, and he says, rather, in humility, value others better than yourself. Ooh, that's a hard one, isn't it? It eliminates hate, though. If you value others better than yourself, it's really hard to hate people that you think are better than you, right? I mean, you know, they're better in every way than me. How can that, you know? It's not a natural thing. Humility is one of those qualities of the Spirit, one of those virtues that can't, you just can't go, I'm going to be humble today, and march into your day and say, ooh, I was humbled today. If you acknowledge it, you probably weren't. Okay? There was a woman named Indra Nooyi, and I hope I say that last name correctly. She was born in a setting in India where women really weren't encouraged to realize their full potential. So Indra's mother, she had a sister as well, and Indra's mother would have them at dinner every night to prepare a page and give a speech as if they were a president or a prime minister of a place in the world. And then she would vote who delivered it best and who wrote the best speech, who would be the ruler of the day, okay? And the mother would do this. Well, this gave these ladies, these girls, these daughters, incredible courage and confidence in life. And one day, Indra was voted president, CEO of Pepsi. She came home that evening, and as it would be, her mother was visiting from India. And she said, oh, Mom, I have some great news. And her mom responded, well, your news can wait. We need milk in this house. We don't have milk. Go get some milk. Indra said, well, why don't you ask my husband Raj to get the milk? And her mother said, I'm not his mother. And plus, he looks tired. Go get the milk. Indra went fuming, got milk. She had just had the highest appointment in her life, going to increase her salary, her way of life. Everything was going to change. And when she came home, she slammed the milk down on the counter and she says, now I will share my news. And my news is that I was named president of Pepsi today. That's what I was going to share. And I didn't get a chance to share it when I wanted to share it. See, that thing goes on forever, parents, all right? Kids, did you hear it? Mom can tell you to go get milk, even on the day that you have been elected to be president of Pepsi, okay? Her mom said to her, when you come home, you are mother, wife, and daughter, just like your husband is father, husband, and son, and no one else can take your place here. Someone else will be the CEO of Pepsi, but nobody will be my daughter, your children's mother, and your husband's wife here but you. So leave your crown in the garage when you come home. We all need a mom like that, don't we? We all need it. When you come home, leave your crown in the garage, right? I'm not going to ask how many have ever told their spouse that. Paul says to this little church in Philippi, Jesus did not regard equality with God as something to be used or to elevate your status, but he humbled himself. He left his crown in the garage, and he served the world with grace and forgiveness. He went and got the milk. God uses you when you serve. Paul says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. I mean, think about it. Who's ever had a migraine or a raging headache and says, my head is killing me, but my feet are fine? right? Who has ever said that? Paul's saying that the body takes care of the body. And when one part of the body needs assistance, the whole body needs assistance. When one part is doing great, all the parts can do great. This is what we sometimes think. We think maybe that I am a useless part. Maybe I am the appendix just hanging out here. But you get sick. If your appendix gets sick, and we just had a friend that got sick appendix, everything was sick. If we are not utilizing our gift, or we cannot utilize our gift, or we don't engage in using our gift to bless the body, then the body suffers. The last thing is God will reward your serving. Galatians, Paul says, let us not become weary in doing good. Have you ever wanted to become weary in doing good? Let us not get weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. One statement, nothing good is ever lost in God's kingdom. No matter what people on earth may see or not see, what they may applaud or may scorn, nothing good that you do will ever be lost in God's kingdom. Paul said it, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts, because God calls you to serve. God has gifted you to serve, and God changes you when you serve, like He changes a parent as they raise their child. God uses you when you serve, and God rewards you when you serve. Don't stop serving, even if it's tough. Nobody's in the bleachers. Nobody's on the bench. Everybody's on the field. Everybody's in the game. I want to call us this weekend with no apologies to serve, because God calls you to serve. Serve somewhere, doing something to bless others. God calls you. Let's do it. Here at New Life Church, the last number I got was we have 197 people serving every month somewhere at New Life Church. That's amazing. Thank you so much for serving somewhere once a month. Some of you serve multiple times a month, and some of you serve in multiple service areas. We appreciate that. Thank you. I could say with that number that we're all filled up and everything's fine and we have no need of anything, because that's nearly 50% of our adult and student population that attends here on Sunday morning. As an average, I'm sure if we were able to accumulate what happens in a month, it would be a little different figure. Well, that's phenomenal. It's phenomenal to think that we don't have a 20-80 thing going on here at New Life Church. We got a 50-50 thing going on. However, there's always room for more. There's always room for more. And here's the big deal. And the reason I would present it to you today with a humble heart, and that God calls us to serve. And if you're not serving, you're not fulfilling everything God has called you to do. He calls us to give, to serve, to bless, to be the presence of Christ in the world. He calls us to. And so today, without apology, I call you. I call you. I call you to the group that wants to be great. I don't want to be great in this world, but I want to be great in God's kingdom, don't you? And if anyone wants to be great among you, he must be the servant of all. And I don't really want to be great anywhere, but I want to be great with God. And I want to serve him, and I want to serve his people. And today, there are places in the chairs on that you've been sitting in today, about every other seat, there's a card like this. And there are all many opportunities for service that we have here. Some are time intensive, some are labor intensive, some are a once a month, 1 hour a month commitment kind of thing. You can check that out in the lobby. There are some major display out there about people who serve and why they serve. But maybe if you would just feel the nudge of God's Spirit, and maybe I could be the elbow of the body of Christ for this series, and just go, you ought to be serving. The Bible says it. So I'll be the elbow of the body of Christ, and I'd like to give you a little nudge this morning. Belong. Know people. Care about people. Give them the opportunity to care about you. Give. Give in some systematic fashion to God's kingdom. And serve. Serve God's people. Serve the kingdom of God. Serve people in our community with the goodness of God. And never grow weary in it. For it's what God's called us to do. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your great goodness and your great grace. And Lord, help us to belong to your body. Help us to belong to one another. Help us to serve one another. And help us to give so that your gospel can go forward uncompromised in power and authority. We thank you, God, for all of this. I pray, dear Lord, if there's someone here who has never accepted faith and finds that they would really like to belong to a caring, faithful community where they can become involved, and they don't have to be a perfect person to become involved, and they don't have to be flawless or perfect in their gifting to become involved. But Lord, I pray that they would pick up the banner immediately upon receiving Jesus into their heart and start serving around here, serving around our community, serving you, that we might bless the world with your presence. We ask all of that in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.